Good morning. I kind of don't know how to feel here. I was very, very blessed with the opening, Kevin. And I did really appreciate the children's lesson, too. I don't know that it was a children's lesson. I think it fit me pretty well. I want to thank you. I was especially thankful for the song service today, John. Yeah, you pretty well give my message in song, and it was appreciated. Thank you. Lord bless you. If you would, if you just bow your heads for a word of prayer, would ask God to come with us and be with us today. And Heavenly Father, if you would please feed your sheep, if you would care for your lambs, and watch over them today, Lord. We know what we don't have it within ourselves to do you any good. But Lord, in your kindness and your goodness and your mercy that you've been showing us, we would, Lord, that these people would be fed with the bread from heaven. And that you would care for them and watch over them and bless them today and forever. We just pray these things, Father, in that most precious holy name. Help me, Lord, that I can, through your power and through the Holy Ghost, can witness to these thy people. And we just pray this, Father, with thanksgiving and reverence. Amen. Yes, it's been a blessed day so far to me. The resurrection was prayed about in a prayer room already this morning and in song. And I'm very, very grateful for all that. And I don't know how much I should say about my trying to bring this message together. But unless God comes and blesses it, it will do you very little good. For a text, we used Luke 24. And the text we started it was the resurrection revealed. Some of the first times that the suffering and the resurrection that Jesus mentioned them Some of the first times we read of his suffering and death and resurrection in the Gospels would be like in Luke 9:22. And the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Now, as we read on, there's the same things were prophesied in different Gospels. But almost every time, they didn't understand them. In Luke 18:31-34, we read again, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be made mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." And they understood none of these things. The apostles did not understand any of those things. And this saying was hid from them Neither knew they the things which were spoken. This seems to be what is said in all the other Gospels. And we see where Peter, when he heard that saying, that he began to rebuke the Lord. And we know that the Lord answered him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So we'll start here in chapter 23. There's two verses I want to read. "And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments." The commandment was that you wouldn't work on the Sabbath. It's in Exodus 12:16. Now in Luke 24:1, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." And we see these the women came early in the morning to the tomb with their spices. One gospel said it was still dark. But they come to finish anointing the Lord Jesus. And when they come to the tomb, I know there was some discussion who was going to roll away this stone on the way over. But when they got there, the stone had already been rolled away. So they were able to enter the tomb, but they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And this had to be very, very troubling to them, if we could put ourselves in their shoes. And if we could think back then, they just had some events that, life-changing events, had an event that shook the earth. It shook the earth and veiled the sun. The sun didn't shine for several hours. These women were by the tomb where Jesus was hanging, probably when this took place. People had to light their candles. The chickens went through. Yeah. They were at the tomb when Joseph of Arimathea laid Jesus' body in the tomb. And they were watching very careful where he laid it. Because they had all intentions of anointing that body on the first day of the week. This is the day that we have gathered here on the first day of the week. Now the body was gone. You know, people that followed Jesus, they had some type of fear because they just crucified him. And if you remember Peter, when he was questioned whether he was one of their followers, denied him three times. So this also had to be a factor with these women here at the tomb. They had befriended him, and they were perplexed Perplexed means that it's complicated and difficult to understand. And that was very hard and difficult for them to understand. And as here we have the words of an angel, as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. When they come there and see the empty tomb, they could clearly see it. Now they hear it from the two angels. Why the tomb is empty? That Jesus is risen. And it says in Psalms 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." So we see that the women were the first to find Jesus was risen. Now as we continue to read in the 24:9-12, and report to the 11, and returned from the sepulchre and told all the things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and it was Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So we see here that these ladies went back home and told all these things to the apostles. But their words seemed to be to the apostles as idle tales, and they believed them not. And it's kind of interesting, Mary Magdalene, and then it says, mentions Joanna, and Joanna's husband was Cusa, and he was a steward to King Herod, which could have left Jesus go, but he didn't. But now we have his wife. His steward's wife. A steward would be a server or somebody that serves him. Following the Christians here is kind of amazing. It seemed like the women, nobody believed what their story. And then Peter finally went to look for himself, and he found it to be so, as the women had said. And after that, in 13-24, we read about the road to Emmaus. "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, that's about 7 miles. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it was, had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. This would be like Jesus coming alongside of them as they're walking and talking and sad. trying to be to help them. It wasn't Jesus' wish that anybody is lost. And we can see here how he cared for the apostles and those. And we can see that even with the things that they had told Jesus here, how they were hoping that this Jesus, this Christ, who gives sight to the blind and who raised people from the dead, and who even the winds and the waves were obedient to his voice, how they had hoped and how they believed that he would be the one that would deliver them from the role and the reign of the Roman Empire. And now, with all that hope in their Lord and stuff like that, now we see that he died. And we can see that they were sad. There was a time of sadness there. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. It seems like we could mention a word or two about unbelief here. I would hate to admit, but there's probably times in my life that I may have not believed the way I should have, or was slow to believe. Like the one person told Jesus, you know, yes, I believe, but please help thou my unbelief. And that's what I would ask of you today, Lord Jesus, if you would help us, that there would be no unbelief within us, that we could believe thy word and thy truth. And these people were on the way to, still on the way to the village of Emmaus. And we have another account here from 28 to 35. And they drew nigh unto the village of Emmaus, whether they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. We see here that they wanted him to abide with them because the day was far spent. It was towards evening. But after he took the bread and blessed it, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And that's exactly what has to happen to us. Our eyes have to be opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. But they recognized him in the breaking of bread. You know, it's a blessed thing today when we brothers and sisters have the opportunity of breaking bread together in his name. But Jesus opened their eyes when he was in the breaking of the bread. It was late in the day, but the apostles ran back to Jerusalem to tell the other apostles that he is risen and he is alive. And as they realized the resurrection in 36 to 43, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that they are I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. We can see here that Jesus was still trying to convince him that it was him and that he was still here in the flesh, in the bodily form. And so when he asked for meat to eat or something like that, he thought this would prove to them, because I don't think spirits eat meat and honeycomb. But he wanted to prove that he still had a fleshly body and that he was one of them. Then he began to open their understandings, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you, which I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And that happens to us too. Many times, I don't know how many times I read this chapter over and over to prepare for this message. And it was just last night that he opened my understandings you can see on my notes before, I had Bible verses and I had a chapter in the Bible and they were the words of God. But when He opens our understanding, it becomes a lot more than that. Our hearts begin to burn within us. May He open up our understanding today. May we realize what happened here in the resurrection. That the truth of God's Word would fill our hearts and mind. That we can continue to have victory over sin and death. That we can live a victorious life. That we can live a life with power, strength, and wisdom. That we can carry on. That we don't have to be in the dregs of life. That we can be walking in truth, walking in the power of this resurrection. Think with me a little. What would it be like today if when Mary looked in the tomb, it would not have been empty? What would it be like if His body would have still been there? Think about that. They were perplexed, but they were witnessing one of the greatest, or the greatest act probably that ever occurred. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We would be without hope. We would be without joy if there were no resurrection. But the tomb was empty. And Christ had risen. And Christ is seated at the right hand of God today. And He is still interceding for us. Let's worship Him in His holy name. It's repentance and remission of sins, 46-48. And He, Jesus, said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. We still have this remission of sins. We still have to be shed blood, a Savior and Lord and King. We still have this blessed hope and assurance that Jesus is alive and cares and watches over us and has blessed us. In Revelation 1:5 it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I'm still trying to understand all the resurrection means to me. I have a hard time today to grasp it. It is far wonderful for me to explain, far too wonderful. It is the most precious gift I can think of today. Think with me a little bit. Who can tell of the love of Christ? Who can measure the depths, the heights, the widths, the length, the breadth? Who can measure the love of God? Who can tell of the wonder? Who can tell the wonder? How can I tell you that you can realize the wonder of the resurrection and death, the death and resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is there any way possible? And the power. How can I tell you of His power? How can I explain to you the power of our Lord and Savior? The difference He makes in our lives. How can I tell you of victory over sin and death? How do we look at victory over sin and death? How can I explain to you how important this is? So much above words, this gift, this kindness that He bestowed upon us, to us. How can I tell you of His faith that He gives us, that we can believe, that we don't have to walk around all day long in unbelief and be sad? But we can have faith through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. Faith to believe everything that is written about Him in this book. Who can tell of the faith? Who can tell of the hope of eternal life? How can I explain to you the hope of eternal life? How can I come anywhere near having you grasp the hope of eternal life? This gift of eternal life surpasses anything that I can explain to you. How can I even tell you of the power to believe in Jesus Christ our Lord? The power of the Holy Ghost, which we dare to have, that we can be fulfilled with. I would like for you to think with me, and there maybe be an opening here and a chance for you to share with me and others what is laying on your heart at this time about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I full well. Realize that I have done it very little, if any, justice. But after reading His Word over and over, I all of a sudden, when I realized the scope of this, when I realized what there is I'm trying to convey to you people today, I was without strength. I was awestruck when I realized when that realization took place, all these cross references that I had. I folded them up and threw them in a waste basket. And what I realized, what lay before me, what you've asked me to do, in conveying this message to you people. I also closed the Bible. Yes, and wept. Verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high." He asked the disciples to go back to Jerusalem and to stay there. And they're endued with the power from up on high, until they are filled with the Holy Ghost and power, wisdom, strength, and understanding. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." This is from Revelations. That's Romans 11. That's quite a promise. This is something I think we dare to take home. I think this is something that should be in our minds as we go through life here today, as we meet those people that are out there and they don't have this hope that me and you have been talking about today. They still don't believe in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many, many that are living today as if Christ had never risen from the grave. And that is a shame. And maybe part of that shame lies on me for not telling them. In Colossians 1:18, Jesus, it says Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. In other words, He might have the superiority in excellence. Jesus Christ will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything, in your life and my life, whether we accept Him or not. We see here in Revelation 18, Jesus said, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." I want to thank you for listening. A few words I have. May the Lord, our God and Father, bless you.